This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here comes the run, and it's thrown right by everyone. It's going to be a stolen base of home. How about that?
You never see that.
Wow.
I mean, this is, like, shocking. Yeah, I mean, he just took off probably because of the windup. He had him timed with that windup, and he just went for it. What a gutsy move.
There are two things here, you know. Look where Devers is playing. Okay, he's got the left-handed hitter at the plate. Look at the location where Devers is. He's not even close. So the runner at third base can see that. He can get the extra lead, plus he's got Sale going out of the windup. I mean, it's almost like they're giving it to you.
Yeah. Take it. The problem is the windup. You can't really go on the windup. No, you just can't.
Look at Devers. Devers is standing there, not even, you know, making a step to make him go back.
And he kind of hurried up to throw at Sale. He saw him take off, and he just
it was just rush. It was like panic time.
Totally.
Something you almost never see in baseball. A steal of home.
It's embarrassing.
So there you go. There's your signature play from the Red Sox here through the first 12 games of the season. And good for Jerry Remy. That's nice to have the Rem dog back. You know, Jerry's been through a lot. But that word, embarrassing, is exactly what it was. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We're with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Last night was only 6:30. Tonight we'll be with you until 7. It's a good opportunity to catch up on that opening day debacle, which is what it was, and really cover a lot of ground here with the Red Sox. So again, phone lines are open. 617-779-0985. We'll take anything and everything you have on the Red Sox. Here's where I want to start. Okay, as many of you know, some of you don't, some of the younger people may not, but the older people, I covered baseball for 15 years. Okay, I covered it for 15 years, and they were good years for the Red Sox. And the off days, I'll tell you what, I love the off days. When you cover a team, the off days are great, and not for the reasons you think. It's not because you get to rest and actually get your life back. It's because the off days in the baseball season actually allow you to take a step back. You look at the big picture, and you're able to do sort of a more detailed, thorough assessment of the team. That's what those off days were always good for, to really look at the team and say, what do we got here? What do we have overall? And you can look at things in a little more detail because you have the time. So you know what I found when I looked at the Red Sox this year? And some of this is not surprising, but this one might be. That really, one of the hallmarks of that team a year ago was the resiliency, the bounce back factor. They never lost four in a row. They were good in series openers. They always set the tone from the season. They set the tone. They set the tempo. They set the agenda from the gate. They won most of the series. They played all of that. Everyone was on their heels when they played the Red Sox. The Red Sox dictated the pace. They set the tone. They set the agenda. Here's what I mean. This year, after winning the title in really record fashion last season, this year, they get the chance to start anew on opening day. We reset on opening day. That's what we do. You know what happened? They lost to the Mariners 12-4. Fine. One game. No big deal. They ended up losing 3 out of 4 in the series. So let's go on to Oakland. They start then again. Or start there again, rather. Another 4-game series. And now you're in a new city, new place, different opponents, all of that. And you say, okay, another chance to reset. We have another chance to sort of get off on the right foot. They lost that opener 7-0. 7-0. They lose 3 out of 4 in that series. They go on to Arizona. Another opportunity to reset. It's one of the really nice things about the game. Like people always used to say to me, what's the best part about covering baseball? And I'd say there's a game every day. You just kind of keep moving. The worst part, there's a game every day. But if you look at it from the standpoint of the series, every 3 days, you get to reset, right? It's like getting to the 10th tee when you play golf. You forget the front nine, I'll play for the back. So they get to Arizona, third series of the year, Friday night, reset. They get their asses kicked. They lose 15-8. again, humiliated. So fine, they come home. Off day Monday, a chance to reset in the home opener. You raise the banner. You give out the rings. You bring in a dog food opponent in the Toronto Blue Jays. You send your ace to the mound. All of that, a chance to put everything behind us now, because we got the rings and we put the banner up. We put everything behind us. We reset. Today we start. That's what we do. And you know what happened? They let up seven more. 7-5. In their first four series openers of 2019, the Red Sox are 0-4. They've been outscored 41-17. They have had a chance to reset now, and this isn't about solely getting off to a good start in a series. It's about bouncing back. They've had the opportunity now to set the tone and bounce back four times. Four. And they've basically been incapable of getting the other team out in any of those games. So for the year, the run differentials are minus 28. Minus 24 of those have come in those four games I just gave you. So the large majority of the damage has come right out of the gate, even in a micro kind of view versus macro. Obviously, they're 3-9. But if you boil it down series to series, right out of the gate, they're being given an opportunity to reset every single time a new opponent comes in. Every time. And they're just not responding. That's the part that should alarm you the most. That part, they are not responding. Now, we'll get to some of the particulars of other things that have gone on here in the first 12 games of the season. We'll do that through the course of the hour. But I know that you feel very strongly about it, too. And the obvious question is, are you worried now? Are you there yet? Because the being presented with that many chances to come back and reclaim your season already, four shots they've had at it to sort of get themselves back on the rails, even early. Four shots. And not only have they gone 0-4, they have failed miserably. Yesterday, they got run on the way they used to run on opponents last year. You remember the game against Baltimore? They were running all over the place to the point where, like, they embarrassed the Orioles. And I think they did it to the Yankees later in the year, too. They ran the bases aggressive, and the Yankees just looked lost. That's what the Red Sox look like now. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Optimistic Jim, oddly enough, in his car. Go ahead.
Hey, Maz, pal. How are you, buddy?
Good.
So when you look at last year, which was, and I'm a little bit older than you, but when you look at last year's team, probably the best season, certainly in my lifetime.
Agreed.
And then you compare, right? Okay. So now you compare it to this year, just the skill level, right? We've got probably 90% of the team that we had last year. So to go from the best team in baseball to like the worst team right now, that's not an accurate picture. We're going to be okay. But I am optimistic, and I think we're going to right the ship. I think we're going to be okay. Saying that, and I'm a Cora fan, I think it lands on him because the way it's not just how it's not that we're losing; it's how we're losing. Stupid base running.
Jim, I'm gonna cut you off just because I want to get to other people too. But look, let's start. The number one reason they're losing is bad starting pitching. Okay, now the other elements that are in there really give you an idea of how clueless they are. But the number one reason they're losing the games is bad starting pitching. Beyond that, though, they've played carelessly, they've played sloppily, just like you said. And you're right about Cora. Cora sets the tone. He did last year. If we're going to sit there and say, wow, what an impact Cora has made, then I think we have to say the same thing now. These look like the John Farrell Red Sox. That's what these teams look like. They look like the John Farrell Red Sox. So I don't know how you get around that with the manager without criticizing the manager. Cora gave them too much rope. He gave them too much latitude. They weren't ready. And he took for granted the necessities of spring training, incredibly. But you know what? I read this in something John Tomasi wrote in NBC Sports Boston the other day, and I thought it was a good point. And that is that Cora, 2 years in a row, had, I don't want to call it a cakewalk to the World Series, but 100-win seasons resulting in World Series titles. So the first year was with the Astros as the bench coach, And Houston had to grind a little more through the playoffs than the Red Sox did. But let's not forget, they got off to such a great start. They were way ahead of everybody that the final 3 or 4 months of the season were meaningless for the Astros. Then they get into the postseason and they won the World Series. So he comes to Boston. He says, this team's better than it thinks it is. He infuses the Red Sox with the confidence that they lacked. And it worked. So Cora came back for year three saying, I got this thing down. We know what we're doing. This is easy. Piece of cake. I got it. I know how this is going to go. And it blew up in his face. In the long run, maybe they'll be better off. And I mean long run as in Cora will be better off as 2020, 2021, wherever he is, wherever they are. But this year, 3-9's a hole, and do not underestimate the size of it. Sam is in Worcester. Go ahead, Sam. Whoa.
Good. So you just kind of touched on there, Matt, is how much success he's had since coming to Boston. And I think so far, what yesterday can really kind of help with the Red Sox with is that the biggest ego deflator there is just pure embarrassment. The Red Sox right now are a lot like Pablo Sandoval. They're fat and they're happy, and they don't have that urgency. But yesterday, especially how it lost, I bet Jim Murray there was licking some of those tears. With Mookie Betts at the plate striking out to end the game like that, how much more embarrassing can you get? And how much more of a kick in the pants can that be?
Oh, so Sam, listen. Yeah, there's way more ways to get embarrassed. Like, how about, I don't know, allowing a steal a home? So I didn't love Mookie's final at bat either. 3-1, boy, did he get a cookie to hit. He took it for a strike. Hanging slider, inner half. Which for him, home run ball.
And I think that's why Cora, you know, he was asked about, you know, some of the approaches he's seen so far at the plate, and he said they could be more aggressive.
Yeah, they've been passive, Murray. Yeah. The team's been passive, period. Okay, they've pitched passively, they've played defense passively, they've hit passively, all the way around. Really, it's a comprehensive breakdown. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking this is just one little problem. They pretty much got it all covered right now. Really, they are doing just about everything on a baseball field that you can do wrong. Really, there isn't much that they're doing right. And in fact, wait till I give you the actual breakdown of their performance this year in the first 12 games. And by breakdown, I mean the full gamut. Pitching, defense, offense, all of it. We'll tell you where the Red Sox stand and all that stuff, and we'll continue with your calls, obviously. But we'll give you that breakdown when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pitch number 74.
Boy, he threw that ball hard. 95, probably the hottest fastball of the day. One of maybe two that were at 95.
That's an upset fastball is what that is.
32 pitches in the inning. Not out of it yet, 3-2.
This isn't the same Chris Sale. It just isn't. We very seldom see him pitch like this.
That's a puzzle.
Velocity or not, I mean, not the same guy.
He wasn't able to put hitters away. Velocity was, 91, 92, showed some flashes of 94, 95 at the end. But as far as like the off-speed slider, literally inconsistent. You know, he made some good ones down and into righties, and then he left it in the zone. The changeup wasn't great. They did a good job for a team that has been striking out a lot. They did a good job with two strikes, putting the ball in play. That little hit and run play they put on with men at first and second. Golfing's go the other way, so he didn't have too many swings and misses, and we paid the price.
Yeah, we got to win that game. This is very easy to just throw on top of the pile and say we're not playing good. This wasn't us not playing good. This was me sucking today. That's frustrating because today was the day we were going to turn it around. You know, we're back home, ceremony, in front of our home fans, playing our first home game. Everyone did what they had to do except for me, and that's a frustrating spot to be in.
That's what it was for Chris Sale yesterday. Another disappointing performance. Major topic there, too. 0-3, 9.00 ERA. And if you're not worried about Sale, you should be. You should be. I mean, he's been a big part of the problem here in the early going and does not look like the same guy as you heard Dennis Eckersley state right there. As for the overall performance of the team, wait till I give you a breakdown of that. That's coming here in 1 second. But wait until I give you the breakdown of just how wretched this team has been in the early part of the year. It's an amazing game, isn't it? You can go 108-54, 11-3 again in the playoffs against the three next best teams in baseball, win 119 games total, and then come out the next year and look like a bunch of ass clowns, because that's what they look like. The same team, basically. Unbelievable. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, I'd love to take about resetting. I mean, I think that's very important because to win in baseball, you have to win a series. And the other thing I spoke about a couple weeks ago with you was, you know, give him three times through the rotation. Do you still believe in that? You know, three times through the rotation. That was my thing, you know, because they were coming slow out of the gate. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, but Chris, when you say three times through the rotation, I don't disagree with the premise, but what I would also tell you is that I would expect to see improvement on the third one. Chris Sale didn't get any better. So this is the dilemma now with Sale. And I'll tell you what worries me about Sale. And we talked about a little bit about this on the afternoon program. So, Murray, forgive me here. I'd like to just ask Jim Murray quickly because I don't remember if I got your take or we got your take on this during the afternoon. But are you worried that Sale's shoulder is shot?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be. And you know, the argument against it is, well, he never went under the knife last year and everything seemed to be fine. Look how he pitched in the World Series against the Dodgers. But I'm sorry, like, I don't know how you can't be considering his physical makeup and how you've seen him break down the last couple of years.
So do you worry that the Red Sox gave him the money knowing the shoulder was a problem?
No, I think that they did their due diligence, but I don't know. I just think that these things, I don't know how you just can't use the eyeball test at looking at Chris Sale and how he looks, just how spindly he is, and not think, well, something could go wrong at any moment. This is why, more than anything else, I agreed with you that they should have waited to give him the extension. He deserved it, but what was the harm in waiting? More money? You're the Red Sox. You can afford it.
Yeah, so I have a hard time believing that they recklessly went in and gave him a deal. I don't believe that happened.
Agreed. I don't think they're that stupid.
I mean, you know, they're not. Now, that said, Sale can pitch at, you know, 96 to 98 or has in the past. What worries me now is that if he's down at 91, 92, that his ceiling has come down. And so we talked about this the other night on NBC Sports Boston. And you know, and they've been gracious enough to have me back or have me this year to contribute on their weekly baseball program. And someone asked the question, is there a chance we've seen the best of Chris Sale? And I think the answer is yes. I think there's the very real chance we've seen the best of Chris Sale. I hope I'm wrong. And it doesn't mean he can't be good. He can still be good. But I'm starting to worry that his ceiling has come down a bit and he's not quite the ace he was before. I'm starting to worry about that. Dave's on the Cape. Dave, go.
Yeah, what's up? I want to get in on April. I mean, in my eyes, I talked to you last year. April's just as important as September. And last year they started good. It gives you leeway during the season, okay? Say it takes 92 games to make the playoffs. If they started 9-3, they only have to be plus 16. Right now, to win 92 games, they got to go plus 28 the rest of the way. So, I don't even want to get in on Cora because he caught lightning in the bottle almost like Ferrell did.
Okay, listen, Dave, you make a good point. And as I like to say it, the baseball season's a marathon. That's the old cliche, right? The season's a marathon. If you start out like they did last year, 17-2, you spend the whole summer running downhill. Piece of cake. No problem. Nice and smooth. You start out 3-9. Well, now you run the risk of running uphill the whole summer. The task gets a lot harder. So, again, it's just because the gains in baseball are typically very incremental. You're just not going to go 17-2 all that often. 15-10 is a good month. You do that every month, you win 96 games. Okay, really, that's what it comes down to. 15-10 will get you 96 wins-ish. Okay, and I'm giving you round numbers, but you get the idea. You'll be 30 games over. 96-66. So, you know, to do it this way makes it a lot harder. That means somewhere in there, you're going to have like a 20 and 10 just to get to even. And then two more, you know, another 20 and 10 to get back to where you should be. Like, it's trickier than you think. As for this year, before I get back to your calls, the Red Sox offense, people keep saying it's just the pitching. It's not. The offense I ranked number one in Major League Baseball last year currently ranks 21st in OPS. They're 13th in runs scored, which isn't bad, but it's not good. They should be better than that. Home runs, 17th. Batting average, 19th. So three of those are below average. One is slightly above, but I would submit for this team, given what the capabilities are, that all four of those stink. Starting pitching, obvious. Overall team ERA, 28th in baseball. 28th in baseball. Starters ERA, 30th, dead last. There's been no collection of starting pitchers worse. The relievers are 10th in ERA, which is okay. Not bad, but yesterday they didn't do the job either. You want to say whip? 25th, allowing too many base runners. Home runs allowed, 29th. Stolen bases allowed, meaning that goes, fewest to most. A negative stat, 29th. Second most stolen bases allowed, the Red Sox. So they rank 29th in the run game, 29th in a bunch of pitching categories, 30th in starters ERA. The pitching's been horrid. Horrid. Fine, let's go to defense. Errors, 7th most. They rank 24th. 24th in fielding percentage, which admittedly is an antiquated metric. Pass balls, from fewest to most, they rank last. They have allowed tied for the most pass balls in the majors. Thank you, Christian Vasquez, yesterday. And you say, well, some of those are, again, antiquated metrics. Fielding percentage. So fine, let's go to Fangraphs. We'll use the modern metrics, defensive runs saved, et cetera, et cetera. You know where the Red Sox rank in modern metrics in defense? 27th. The Gold Glove outfield has played like garbage. Their pitching has stunk. Their offense has been bad for them. And their defense has sucked. So they've been bad across the board.
The numbers surrounding this team right now, they really are staggering.
I mean, they're bad at everything.
They really are.
And if they had a base running stat, I tell you that one would be bad too. They've been bad at everything across the board. Bad, bad, bad. Really. Or dare I say suck, suck, suck. They've sucked at everything. Quickly, Dan and Cranston.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
Good.
Two quick points. Jeff Passan had a great article today about, I don't know if you've referenced it yet or read it. It was basically saying the league reaction to the sale contract was basically, what are you doing and why did you do it?
I haven't read it, but I heard about it. I heard him talking about it on the Midday Show.
Yeah, it was great. And then the scary thing, this is unbelievable. Starting next year, they will have more money committed at $78 million between Price, Sale, and Eovaldi than the whole Tampa Bay payroll this year.
Yeah, so Dan, they have almost $100 million in that rotation. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off so quickly. And I'll tell you what, the Passan story is interesting. I heard them talking about it on the Midday Show. I am always wary of, you know, other teams piling on a team that's winning, particularly the Red Sox, whom, you know, many teams regard as arrogant. They regard Dombrowski as arrogant. Maybe they're right. But they will line up all too quickly to beat up on the Red Sox if they get the chance. Nonetheless, we all know. We don't need them to tell us that. It was a questionable deal. For a guy coming off a shoulder issue, questionable deal. Let's hope this is not what he is going forward. I don't think it is. Again, I do worry that he's lost a little, though. And over time, who knows what that's going to look like. Do I think he's cooked and that he has a bum shoulder? No, but I'm starting to worry about it a little bit. As it pertains to April, we had a caller say a little while ago the importance of April. We gave you some of the details on that last night. I'm going to give you a more thorough breakdown. You want to dismiss it as the first meaningless month of the season? You can do that, but I'll tell you right now, you're wrong. You'd be wrong to do that. I'll give you the numbers in a minute. Murray's got your help.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not good for the Red Sox here in the early going. So again, I admit that I can have a tendency to think the worst every time they lose a few, but right now, I don't know if there's anyone out there that can defend the way they've played. To call it disappointing would be a gross understatement. I know people have lots of questions about why they are where they are. Here's one popular theory from Alex in a car. Alex, what do you got?
I think I heard you talk about this before. I think they need to bring Sandy Leon back. They need another catcher. I mean, I don't know. Vasquez, I think, has never been the same since he had Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
And
So, Alex, I'm going to let you go there only because I think Matt and Grafton has a similar comment. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
Yeah, I had the same comment. So not to just say the same thing, but I wonder if you look at a guy like Swihart and do you bet on him or do you just move on and say, we'll keep Leon and Vasquez or some other combination, but I think you need Leon catching because he works well with these starting pitchers, and they're horrible right now. They suck.
Okay, so Matt, before I let you go, because again, the prior caller said Vasquez hasn't been the same since he had Tommy John, which may or may not be true. I don't know what that has to do with his ability to call a game. Handling the pitchers to me is really paramount right now, and I don't dispute that Leon is good at it and that he's certainly better than Swihart, but what percentage of their problems would you attribute to the catching situation?
I would say 30%.
Okay. What I put on it is about five. I don't think it's 30%. Chris Sale's throwing 88, 89 miles an hour in Oakland. Yesterday it was a little better, but his off-speed stuff has been garbage. With the way he's pitching, what could Sandy Leon possibly call to get anybody out? And that what drives me nuts about Sale at the moment, April, particularly a day like yesterday, that's power pitcher weather. That's a day where you just fire fastballs in on the hands and you break bats and you make guys just wishing for the game to end. It was that kind of day. Like, that's when you pound guys mercilessly if you have velocity. And Sale, Jimmy, do we have Sale talking about his accountability for how he's pitching overall? Just because I think Sale's personality is no nonsense. Okay, Sale's very direct, very blunt. He answers questions. He takes accountability. Yesterday, he said something to the effect, Jimmy, of, this isn't on the team. This is on me. But if you have anything close to that, go ahead and play.
Yeah, we got
to
win that game. This is very easy to just throw on top of the pile and say we're not playing good. This wasn't us not playing good. This was me sucking today. That's frustrating because today was the day we were going to turn it around. We're back home, ceremony, in front of our home fans, playing our first home game. Everyone did what they had to do except for me, and that's a frustrating spot to be in.
Okay, I don't know about you, but that's a guy to me who doesn't beat around the bush and kind of hits things head on. That's what he sounds like to me, and I think that's who Sale is, and that's how he wants to pitch. This is who he is on the mound. He tells it like it is. Here I come, I'm throwing 96, good luck. That's who he is on the mound. That's who he's always been on the mound. So this might be nothing more than a transition, an evolution into him sort of learning a different way of pitching, at least early in the year. It might be him deliberately scaling back early in the year so that he has more in the tank late in the season. Although that didn't work last year. I would do it differently if I were them. I'd give him a break in the middle of the year the way they used to do with Pedro. Could be any one of a million things. But if Chris Sale doesn't want to pitch subtly, and he wants to air it out, and he doesn't believe in it, it's never going to work. Okay, it's never going to work. And so, I don't know, I look at Sale, and I say, and this gets back to Leon, Sale needs to throw his fastball. He needs Sandy Leon to tell him that. Chris Sale's been in the big leagues a long time. He won with Vasquez last year. Now, all of a sudden, Vasquez is a bum, too. So, first it was, why is Swihart on the roster? Now, Vasquez is a bum. And you can keep making excuses. The fact is right now, the pitchers suck. And Sale is chief among them. Scott in a car. Go ahead, Scott.
Tony, I actually think you're not going far enough. I think I can make you look like an optimist.
Good, go.
If you look at the team, last year was an aberration. they weren't supposed to be that good. If you go position by position, pitcher by pitcher, can you honestly say you don't expect you couldn't see each person having a worse year than last year? Everything went right last year. They had very few guys proven to hit the statistics that they hit last year. Even a guy like J.D. Martinez, who had a phenomenal year, do you honestly, had he hit those numbers previously the way he had last year?
So, Scott, listen, it's a good point. I'm going to let you go because, again, a lot of people are lined up. They've had an atrocious start, and people want to get it off their chests and speak their minds. So I don't blame you. And what I would tell you is it's a good point. I mean, some guys are bound to have regressions. And really, even the superstars, J.D. Martinez almost won the Triple Crown. Mookie Betts won the MVP. I mean, how much better can you get than those two guys? Bogaerts had a career year. Now, there were a couple of guys that didn't. Bradley, everyone thought was going to get better. With that reworked swing of his in spring training, how's that worked out? Devers, still a long way to go. There's room for growth there. Benintendi wasn't great last year, particularly in the second half. So there were still guys who could get better. And remember that Sale didn't really pitch in the second half. So there were, but the key offensive guys, you're right. Now look, I never thought they were a 108-win team. And from the standpoint of being able to repeat it, I still don't think they're that. But I know they're not 3-9 either. I mean, even the 2 years before where we criticized them, I look at them and I say, they did win the division and they were a 92, 93, 94-win team, whatever they were. I thought their ceiling was a little higher than that. As it turned out, their ceiling was a lot higher. So are they as good as last year? No. But there's no way. No way they're this bad and should be allowed to play this bad. Rob is in Needham. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I could never make you sound like an optimist, Nads, but I would never try. My take is that the Sox know about Sale's physical ailments. They signed him. That's why he got such a great deal for the Sox. He signed lower than he needed to, and they know he's going to have some problems. And that's why they signed him low.
Okay, so Rob, I'll tell you what, though. When you say they signed him low, you make it sound like they just gave him 4 years and $40 million. It's still 5 years and $145. It's $29 million a year, and that begins next year. Right? So, in effect, if you add on this season, it's 6 years and $160. I mean, I guess that's a pretty team-friendly deal, but it's not so ridiculous that you would say, oh, you absolutely positively do it for a guy coming off a shoulder injury. I just don't think you do it that way. The importance of April. I meant to get to it this segment. I didn't. So I promise we'll do that when we come back. You don't want to miss these numbers. Trust me.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, normally at this time we give you the Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Obviously the Red Sox are off tonight, so there is no key matchup for you. I don't have one to give you. We'll give you one tomorrow when the Red Sox get back on the field. In the interim, the topic of April starts and what they mean has been a popular one here in recent days for obvious reasons. The Red Sox have been wretched. I did some of this last night, but I want to give you some more of the data here in a second. I'll take a couple of calls first. The ultimate point before I even get to the phone calls, if you think April is meaningless, you're wrong. Okay, you're wrong, at least based on history. It doesn't mean that things can't change because we all know there's an outlier to every statistical analysis out there. There's just nothing is 100%. But April does matter in the baseball season. And I've said, yeah, I believe in fast starts and strong finishes. I believe that. Now, the strong finish part, if you have a 10-game lead on September 1st, well, then September doesn't matter. But more often than not, all things being equal, you need to play well down the stretch and you need to play well at the beginning. Those are important times of the year. Nick is in Belmont. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Maz, long time no talk. Hope all has been well. Yeah, I think a couple of things just to highlight and to echo. April does matter. You know, the slow start here is, I think, an indicator. And you illustrated at a very macro level. It's interesting to hear some of the callers talk about, you know, these issues in a vacuum. You run off the stats. You know, these are macro issues. They're prevalent. They're everywhere. You know, I'd be curious to hear your opinion, Maz, on, you know, Cora last year got a lot of credit. What do you think about the start this year and what that says about Cora?
Okay, so Nick, thanks for the call. I think if we're going to be fair about it, if we're going to say, wow, the manager made a big difference in 2018, then in 2019, don't we have to look at it and say the manager's not making the difference anymore? So what happened? It feels like a logical sort of process to me. And ultimately, the Red Sox weren't ready. They weren't ready to start the year. The manager didn't have them ready. They were still holding on to 2018. He was allowing them to hold on to 2018. The fact that he was in Houston the year before and they came out of the gate and played great and won the World Series, and the same thing happened in Boston, I think sort of lulled them into a little false sense of security that we've got this thing mastered. We know how it's going to go. We can manage it and win it because we're that good. And the truth is that nobody's that good. So you always have to be on your toes a little bit, if not a lot. And last year, they were on their toes out of the gate. They really were. This year, I'm not sure they've gotten on their toes at all. And again, I said this at the beginning of the show. Look at all the opportunities they've had. Opening day is a chance to reset, start anew. They lost 12-4. Then they went to Oakland. New series. We had a bad opening series in Seattle. That's okay. We'll start now. That's what those series openers give you. They give you a chance to sort of reset. They went to Oakland. They lost 7-0. Then they went to Arizona. Another series opener. Okay, fine. Change locations. Here it is. Another chance to reset, to get back on the beam. 15-8 they lost. They had to use a positional player to finish that game on the mound. Then they come home. They get their rings. They raise the banner. They officially put 2018 behind them. They play a horrible Blue Jays team, and they send their ace to the mound. And they give up 7 more and allow a steal of home. I mean, how many chances can you give them? So the scary part right now, they are not responding. They're not responding. That's the part that should have you as scared as anything. It's just not getting any better. It's been 4 series now. Nothing. Nothing. No heartbeat, no pulse, nothing. Anthony's in Lincoln. Anthony, go.
Hey, Maz, just to piggyback off what that guy said, you know, how Betts and J.D. Martinez had great years. Wouldn't you think that this would have been the perfect year to reset? Like if Sale, Porcello, Bogaerts, Betts, they're all up. They have contracts all up. And you're over the luxury tax. And just like you said, like we lost Espinoza for Pomerantz. And like Chris Archer got traded for Austin Meadows. And
But Anthony, what are you getting at? You wanted him to go young?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you could have reset. And then you got guys like Judge and Lindor in a couple of years. You could have got those and reset all these bad contracts.
Okay. Judge isn't going anywhere. The Yankees are going to keep him. Trust me on that one. As for Lindor, I don't know. Maybe you're right. But here's the problem. You don't have any young guys. You have no minor league system. You didn't have a choice. So, and I'm not going to give them a lot of grief for signing Sale or signing Bogaerts, because those guys are good players. The minor league system's something altogether different. I wasn't looking for a reset. I was just looking for the team to maintain a healthy professional attitude and not get too cocky and fat and happy, because that's what they did. And again, as it pertains to April, I'm going to make this fast. But the Final Four in baseball gets to the LCS every year. So in the last 10 years in baseball, of those 40 LCS teams, 32 of them or 32 of them have played 500 or better in April. Okay, nobody's, only eight have had a losing record. And of those eight, the 20% that have had a losing record, four of them were a game under 500. Like, you know, the point is they're right there. Even if the Red Sox were to have a month of April, they end up a game under 500, you can live with that. But six under, 12 games in, 3-9, now you're digging a hole. Now you're creating a problem. And by the way, and again, I say April, prior to May 1, because some of the seasons play a few games in March. The 10 World Series winners, here are their winning percentages in April the last 10 years. Starting with the Red Sox last year, who were 750. They went 21-7. Astros, 640. Cubs, 773. Royals, 682. Giants, 607. Red Sox, 692. Giants, 545. Cardinals, 593. Giants, 591. Yankees, 545. Nobody was under 545. They were all a minimum of two games over in April, and a bunch of those teams played 600, even 700 baseball. Start fast, finish strong. Pretty basic formula. Adam Jones coming up here at 7 o'clock. What do you got?
I like the Celtics formula better. That is start slow, collapse in the middle, play even worse down the stretch, limp into the postseason. I'm a big fan of that approach.
So Pac-Man, I'll tell you what though, that's a good example to bring up. Okay, they started slow, right? 10-10.
Yep. Hey, don't worry. Come on, 10-10. Who cares? It's a long season.
Did they ever dig themselves out?
Never.
Never did, right?
Not one time.
I mean, they're the four seed. They should have been the one. Never dug themselves out. Keep going.
Oh, well, anyway, so we're not starting with the Celtics. We have some thoughts on them. News really at this hour. I'm sure Big Jim will have it in Hub headlines, but not great news on Marcus Smart. We are going to start with the Bruins tonight. Big game tomorrow night. And I want to know, the Bruins are cup contenders, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cup contenders, right? You're on the Bees train over there.
All aboard, Jones.
So they can't lose to Toronto.
Right.
They can't, you can't be a cup contender and lose in round one to the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? So I just want to set some expectations here with Bruins fans, all the hockey hardos out there. We got 5 hours taking you up until midnight with your phone calls, so we'll begin with that.
Okay, Jones and Arcan for the full five. That ought to be a joy. Murray's got your headlines here. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.